So let's get on with the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the show.
The Bob and Sherry Show with Bob.
Here's what I do. I talkie on radio.
And Sherry.
And who are the most important women in broadcasting?
And now, broadcasting from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, you guys, I'm trying to not be such a baby about it, but I am fighting the spring forward thing so hard. You remember when your kids were, do you remember when your kids were little and the daylight savings time switch would be hellish because it would be so much harder to get them to bed and then so much harder to get them up? Do you remember that?
Because it's dark. Yeah, because it's dark in the morning. Yeah.
Somehow that's me. And, you know, poor Kevin. Like yesterday, it was like 6:45 p.m. And I looked at the time on my phone and I said, I'm really sorry. You're probably hungry, but I just can't do it. It's just,
I did the same thing.
This is just not working for me at all. The alarm, right. I haven't used a snooze alarm. I broke my lifelong snooze alarm habit a long time ago, like years ago. I can't get, the alarm went off this morning and I was like, no, Satan, I rebuke thee. I am not getting out of this bed. Like, I don't know why I'm just, are you guys not feeling it? I'm just really feeling it.
I think I am. I kind of, you know, sniffed at it. Oh, I'm not going to feel any different. But I think I did. I paid attention to it. And again, just like you, I was making my fabulous chicken soup for Mary and myself. And I got in from being out with the dog and I went, it's 20 minutes after six. And it's not dark yet. Why is it 20 minutes after six? I haven't fed the dog and I haven't started soup. So I agree.
I hate it so, so, so much. And we had talked about it last week on Friday, I guess, for the clocks change. And I've had so many people correct us. It's not daylight savings time. It's daylight saving time. And the Sunshine Act would be the opposite. Like, we shouldn't want them to pass the Sunshine Act because that would be the exact opposite of what we would like to see happen. Like, so for example, the Sunshine Act, our listener Roxanne said it's a horrible bill because if they pass that, once you lose that hour, it stays that way all year round. And it would be, it would be bright at 10 o'clock at night and dark in the morning and all of this other stuff. And I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I just feel like I got whacked, not with a bat, but with like a big hard pillow, just whomp.
Yeah.
And I just,
did you have trouble sleeping? Mary had trouble sleeping and that of course impacted me. And you know, that's a very important thing for everyone. I think she just had a terrible, and she never does. She had a terrible time sleeping.
I just can't go to bed when I'm supposed to, cause it doesn't feel like the right time. How about you, Lamar?
Well, here's a question for y'all. Listen, I can go to sleep anytime. I hate to wake up every time, so it doesn't matter to me. My problem is the dog. I have sat down. I've got a chart. I've explained to Darby what daylight saving time is, what it's not. She knows when it's 6 o'clock because that's when she eats. It doesn't matter. I don't care. If there'll be no clock anywhere at 6 o'clock, she comes and starts barking to eat. Same thing in the morning, same thing at night. Now, she's still barking at 6 o'clock, but it's not 6 o'clock. See, the time is different. Yeah. Our time is different, but her time has not changed. Her time of getting up has not changed. Her time of eating has not changed. And it'll drive you nuts. It will drive.
That's
and I've
the
explained
perfect
it.
Example.
I've explained it, and she doesn't get it. She does not. Get
and she's
it.
A poodle. They're supposed to be
guys,
the smartest.
That's what I
ready?
Thought.
Are you ready? So, there were a bunch of people on our Facebook over the weekend, just a couple of days ago, commenting on pets and daylight saving time, and these people were like, this is why you should never feed your pets at the same time every day. Mine have no idea what time they eat, so they never bother me. Where were you when they were kids? Puppies. Why isn't this being taught in schools? Just randomize the animal feeding schedule. Why didn't this occur to any of us? Tell me.
Yeah.
Any of us.
I feed Finn not exactly like Lamar does at 6 o'clock, but around that time. It could be 5:45. It could be 6:45. So I guess I'm doing something right that way.
Yeah, well, but you could have done like what our listeners have done. They feed the, sometimes the dog gets breakfast at 7. Sometimes it gets breakfast at 11. Dog doesn't
That's
know.
Chaos.
Dog,
that's chaos.
Dog knows that
that's chaos.
In daytime it eats. Yeah, chaos. But these people are
that's
not
chaos.
Being stalked and terrorized the way we are. I want to get this out there so that other people learn from our mistake. If you have a brand new puppy or kitten or goat or hamster, whatever, randomize your feed times. Just randomize it. Don't be the animal's servant the way we are. It's Bob and Sherry.
Use the talk back feature.
Talk back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Nice to have everyone with us. I was very saddened to hear that the singer Eric Carmen passed away at the age of 74. And if you were like me and in broadcasting or growing up, in the 19, I guess that he was popular in 70s. The 1990s,
70s, into 70s, into 80s. Yeah.
Into 80s.
Because I believe that the big hit with the Raspberries, he was with, but I guess now he's all by himself.
Lord, I want you to hear me. I had nothing to do with that joke. Zero.
Yeah, that's Max. That's Max.
That's all Max.
That's Max.
And
that's
and
Max.
Very, very unlike Max.
Oh, please.
Hang on.
I'm going to hell for so many things.
I got to get a flashlight. I can't see. It's so dark in here.
Good Lord. You know, that wasn't one of my favorite songs of all time, but the guy has a great skill for writing and a great voice, and God bless him. God bless his memory. And God, please do not punish Max for that
Max.
Dark humor.
Please forgive me.
I'm being punished for so many other things.
He's basically a very good person. On a lighter note, I thought, I watched the Oscars the other, did they get a big rating, the Oscars, the other night?
I don't know, but I was in and out because we had some sickness in the house here, but
I watched
a bunch of the clips the next day on YouTube.
Very impressed with Ryan Gosling. I know he pulled off I'm Just Ken in the movie, but you know, you can have a lot of different takes and so on. That was live. That guy just, let's listen to it.
About that performance that you might not know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I thought the reveal that Slash was the guitar player was unbelievable. It's one of the greatest musical performances I've ever seen on an award show. But there was another guitar player shredding on that stage. And if you didn't know who he was, you might not have realized who you were looking at. That was Wolfgang Van Halen.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And when you saw Ryan Gosling grab the camera operator's hand and kiss it, that's because the camera operator, that dude, was wearing a Ken cowboy hat from the movie. And
you saw that
when the camera pulled back.
Yeah.
I thought it was phenomenal. And I have to say, Gosling was in the Mickey Mouse Club with Christina Aguilera, Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Timberlake needs to send one of those fruit baskets and thank Ryan Gosling for choosing acting, because that was a live mic. There was no looping, overdubbing, or vocal tracks. If Ryan Gosling had decided to be a pop star, he would have killed that too.
Yeah. Also, that's a very difficult audience. I think the audience was 1,000% behind him. But still, that's got to be the most difficult audience of your peers and beyond. I mean, you got Scorsese, you have all of these directors, Spielberg out there. And that's a silly little song to have to nail. And he did. He did great. I was very impressed.
Oh, yeah.
We've got morons in the news straight ahead and things Bob didn't know. This is Bob and Sherry.
Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Here we go!
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic.
Asinine.
With morons in the news.
Men have just been busted for stealing calculators in Minnesota. It's a nationwide calculator theft ring. A calculator theft ring is busted up because of two Texas men. The guys got busted when they tried to walk $5,000 worth of calculators out the door of a Minnesota Target hidden in a cooler. They are facing charges after allegedly stealing a whole lot of calculators from several stores in Minnesota with a value of around $20,000. Investigators believe the men are a part of a larger theft ring in Texas that may have stolen, listen to this, $25 million in calculators around the United States. If they are convicted, they could face 10 years in prison. And the burning question is, calculators? It just doesn't add up.
I have to say, we all have calculators on our phones, right? So there's that. But also, I almost want these guys to get away with it because America feels stupider by the minute. If we're right. stealing and distributing calculators, is that a good sign for the future? I think it might be. I do.
It could. That's the positive way to look at it. I can't figure it out because you're right. Most people have it right there on their computers. Who's buying one anymore?
Lamar.
Two Georgia men are accused of setting off a bomb at a woman's house along with some other crimes. 34-year-old Caleb Kinsey and 37-year-old Stephen Glosler conspired to harass, intimidate, injure, or kill the woman who owned the house. Glosser and the victim allegedly met on a dating app, but their relationship eventually went south, so they decided to block each other. That's when Kinsey got involved. The men allegedly planned to shoot arrows into the victim's front door, to mail her dog feces or dead rats, to scalp her head, to blow up the home, and to release a large python to eat her daughter. Whoa! That's a lot of random things. Here's what I want to know. Did we start with mailing the dog crap, then move to the arrows, then scalping, then snake, and then decide, oh, to heck with it, let's just get a bomb? Glosser found the victim's home, built an explosive device. The two then used the device to blow up the woman's house. A witness said they saw an SUV truck leaving, got the tag. It was determined to be Kinsey's car. Police served a search warrant and found evidence of explosives and his journal where he wrote down everything he was going to do. The men have been indicted on a ton of charges. Prosecutors said the conspiracy charge is going to be up to 20 years in prison plus an explosives for 10 years. Who comes up with shooting arrows into the door? Who's got a python that you're going to turn? Is it a trained python? Yes, I don't know. Crazy.
It's like a Looney Tunes cartoon. It's so stupid.
Oh, my God. And finally, this is going to start off sounding like a moron, but maybe this guy is onto something. His name is Dr. Joseph DeTore, and he says, he's a Florida man, who says he has discovered the Fountain of Youth underwater in Key Largo. So if that name rings a bell, it might. He spent 100 days underwater last June. He's a retired Navy diver. And he said that being underwater for 100 days was like being in a hyperbaric chamber. He was 30 feet under the lagoon in Key Largo for more than 3 months. And he said it reversed the age of his DNA. He said, I'm 56 years old, but my DNA is 44 because of the time I spent underwater. And he gave the explanation for how it works. On the end of your chromosome, you have these little extensions called telomeres, And every time your DNA replicates, it shrinks, shrinks, shrinks. And you get 1,000 replications, that's it. When the telomeres are gone, that's cell death. That's the definition of aging. But he spent 3 months underwater in the lagoon in Key Largo, and he said, I'm a lot younger now. He said, hyperbaric treatments have been used for hundreds of years, but the treatment is not open to everyone. You need a prescription from your doctor. It's expensive. It costs $250 an hour. But he said, this man, and we'll post this, this man says that Fountain of Youth is real. So of course, like everything else, it's for people who have money, because when you have money, you also have, say it with me, time. Most of us cannot leave our jobs and families and go live underwater in a lagoon like the Little Mermaid for 90 days.
This was in Key Largo?
Key Largo. But I'm so thrilled that the Kardashians and Jeff Bezos will now be able to live forever.
Yeah,
it's Bob and Sherry.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Have you ever heard of skijoring? It's a cross between skiing and rodeo, if you can imagine that.
What?
Skiing and rodeo. So you put on your skis, and you know, like when they ski through, you know, like downhill, and they do jumps and they do gates and all of that.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, imagine adding rodeo to this. You're skiing, and there are horses and dogs and snowmobiles and cars that get involved. So we don't bring in wild bulls, but sometimes there are horses. Skiers will be towed at like over 40 miles an hour, jumps as high as 8 feet, and they have to go around obstacles, including horses, dogs, and moving cars. Skijoring. This is what ESPN needs. Since they have about 42 channels of ESPN,
yeah.
Why not, right? Why not add this? One of these skijoring experts, a guy named Jason Decker, broke his collarbone in a crash, so he couldn't compete in the latest one. But he said, I've learned to wear a protective cup because you think snow is soft, but try getting hit in the groin by a flying chunk of snow thrown at you by a horse's hoof. He said, things go bad real quick when that happens.
Are you towed by a horse?
You're not towed by a horse. They're towed by cars, but they're racing horses. They're skiing horses. Mm-hmm. One of these rodeo skiers said that my horse headbutted me and broke my nose. I lost control of my horse, fell off, and crashed into a minivan. I don't have what these people have. Do you?
A tiny brain? That sounds so awful, but you're right. On ESPN6, I can see that pulling an audience.
Oh, I would not be able to look away at a combination of skiing and rodeo. So, coming to a venue near you and an ESPN channel soon, it's Bob and Sherry.
And now on the Bob and Sherry Show, it's another exciting episode of Things Bob Didn't Know.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And this blew my mind. I follow a guy whose name is James Parkin, and he posts some really interesting, random historical moments. So let me ask Sherry, I'll just ask you, if your phone rang and you did not know who was calling, you don't know who it is. If you pick it up, what's the one word that you say? What's the word you say?
Hello.
That's exactly right. How did hello begin? I'm going to start this off by asking Max to play a Warner Brothers cartoon clip. You may have seen this. It's a frog with a cane and a top hat, and he's dancing. Let's listen to Michigan J. Frog.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss, my wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll
okay,
lose
so
me.
The first then words he says are, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, hello, my ragtime gal. So that harkens back to the turn of the last century, right, early 1900s. And people only used the word hello back then when they were surprised. Like if you came around the corner and bumped into somebody, you'd go, hello. But that was not you. There were no phones up until the time Alexander Graham Bell invented the telephone. So Bell is trying to come up with, how will people pick up the phone and talk? What will they say? And what he came up with was, you pick up the phone, you go to the mouthpiece, and you say, ahoy, which I kind of like
you're on a ship.
Yeah, but you're not on a ship. It's a telephone. But hello was not used. So in steps Thomas Edison. And Thomas Edison says to Alexander Graham, hey, that ahoy thing, that really doesn't work. Not everybody's on a boat. You should use the word hello. And, you know, Alexander Graham Bell says, yeah, but that's, you know, it will mean hello. It'll just change the greeting. And ladies and gentlemen, that is why we say hello when we pick up a phone. It's all because of Thomas Edison suggesting it. I had no idea.
Ahoy.
Instead of her ahoy. But I got to be honest. I may try to bring back ahoy. I think it's very kind of cool.
I triple dog dare you to bring back
ahoy. So like Mary's calling me. Ahoy. I'm here.
It will be so unique. Is this Bob Lacey? That's what everybody is going to say.
Yeah. Ahoy. Did you know that was how that happened? I had no idea that hello was not a thing that people said with greeting.
I knew that Alexander Graham Bell had tried to float ahoy, and everybody laughs at that. But you have to remember that when Alexander Graham Bell was doing that, like that's how the only way people could communicate was like that. Like ahoy was the standard greeting. It would be hysterical if that came back.
I'm going to try to do it. I'll do it with friends first, like when Jeff calls or something like that, see what the reaction is. Next thing, did you know that Pepsi had the sixth largest military in the world at one time? You can't make this up. During the late 1980s, the Soviet Union, now Russia's, love of Pepsi proved problematic for those in charge. Their initial agreement with the American company Pepsi had expired, and their currency, the rubles, would not be accepted. So they did a trade. The Russians, then Soviets, gave 17 submarines and several other large naval vessels in exchange for $3 billion worth of Pepsi. For that period, Pepsi had more military might than all but five countries on the earth, and they could have turned the Cold Wars really serious. Yeah. What did they do with the 17 submarines and other naval vessels? They sold them to a Swedish company, and they scrapped them, and they got the $3 billion that way because the Soviet economy was so in the tank, as it is now, as a matter of fact. This story blows my mind, too. And it's back to the same period of the hello thing. To call the 1904 St. Louis Olympic Marathon a disaster would be an understatement. Of the 32 competitors, only 14 finished. This was largely due to organizer James Sullivan's insane belief that dehydration was good for the body, causing him to only have one water station in a 25-mile race on dusty, unpaved roads in July. The racers' journeys are even more bizarre. First place hitched a ride in a car. Second place took rat poison as a performance enhancer and had to be carried across the finish line. And the fourth place finisher slept off stomach cramps during the race. And it is a shame that we do not have that on film. And there it is, a few things that Bob didn't know. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, Oddcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
It may be spring break season, but it's never too early to plan for summer. That's why we're sending teachers to Florida to spend their summer vacation at Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach. You can nominate a teacher to win a trip from Visit Florida at bobandsherry.com.
Well, as anybody who knows me pretty well, and that would include some of our fine listeners, my strong suit is not follow through with a lot of things. I get some really good ideas, and then I don't know what happens to me, and I don't always follow through. However, I was kind of proud of myself that I have followed through on a few things that supposedly are going to make me healthier. Number one, I switched from white wine to red wine because supposedly red wine has some benefits. Sherry pushed me there. And the other thing, again with Sherry, I added some cream, some half and half actually, or milk, to my coffee. I used to drink it black, but she said the combination of putting in some milk is somehow, it just works. Chemically, it's good for you as an antioxidant. And the other thing is that I am almost daily eating blueberries, right? And sometimes walnuts, because they're both superfoods, especially blueberries. I see that all the time. I've been seeing the blueberries are good for you thing for like 2 years now. And so I'm kind of proud of myself, you know, for doing that. And then I read this article. And basically, the bottom line of this article was, if you eat or have been eating a lot of processed foods like processed meats and, you know, certain cheeses that are overly processed, you're going to die. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to die. And I paused for a minute, blueberries in hand, and I said, do you know how much crap you've been eating since you were a teenager? It's an immense amount of garbage. Do you know how much fast food you have consumed over your life until recently? It's an immense amount. You know the period when you and I were first together, where we would finish up and afterward I would go, because I didn't have much money in the wallet, you know, had all these bills, and I'd sit in the parking lot and eat a Wendy's double with cheese for lunch. Do you know how many times I've done that, whether it's Wendy's or McDonald's?
I do.
Or
yeah.
All the processed meats that you can get in a sub and French fries. I can't imagine the tonnage of French fries and soft drinks that I have had over my life. And now I find myself asking the simple blueberry and walnut to save me. Does it make any sense?
Here's the news, Bob. You're still going to die.
No matter what.
Well, that's not what I was looking
walnuts,
for, Lamar. To
be cheeseburgers, French fries. Now, if you're eating blueberries and walnuts, which I'm a big believer in blueberries and walnuts, I do love them. But at the same time, I like to balance my time with blueberry and walnuts and yogurt, and also go for the cheeseburger and the fries. So we're both going to die. Who's had more fun?
Yes, but
me or you?
Yes, but you're asking a lot of blueberries.
Life
to take
lived.
Out hundreds of pounds of cheese and hamburgers and fried foods. And when I was a kid, eating fried clams when I had enough money. I mean,
maybe
I don't
die
know.
Quicker.
I'm still here.
Maybe I die quicker, but I still win.
Because you've had a better time, win. Is what you're saying.
I've had a great time. Cheeseburger.
Don't use the word.
Grease,
you just
out.
Use the word
leaking
had.
Out.
Don't use the word had. You should be saying, I'm having a good time.
Going to tomorrow. I'm going to eat a cheeseburger tomorrow. This morning, I ate yogurt and blueberries. Tomorrow's a cheeseburger.
So you
it's
think
an experiment,
that cancels
Bob. It's
it
an
out?
Experiment.
You think it what? Cancels it out? Because that's
if
the way I was looking at it.
If it doesn't cancel it out, I've had a great time. It's been great. I like it.
What kind of medications are you on? Tell me. I'm going to get the same
cheeseburger
thing.
And fries. That's a medication. I mean, I'm sorry. It's great. But I'm pulling for you. Gosh, I'm pulling for you. Maybe you can beat this thing. Maybe you can beat it, but I don't think so.
I wish I just – would I have done anything different? I'm just putting myself on my bike when I was 12 years old, and somehow I got enough money in my pocket. I probably took it out of my father's billfold that I could go down to the dairy barn. You know, the dairy barns that kind of look like a Dairy Queen, but they don't want to pay for the franchise name. Right. But and they serve those crinkle cut French fries and a soft bunned hamburger, a cheeseburger, and a tall Coca-Cola loaded.
Love them.
Yeah, I love them too. I know what they're probably doing to
cherish those memories, Bob. Cherish those memories. Nobody has a memory.
That's not helping me. That is not helping me. Just say, eat more blueberries. It's Bob and Sherry. Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It is time now for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Clint Hall.
Now, the new job application was not the first time I had tried to find something else to do. As for a period of time, I was also a professional wrestler. I'm not to the joke part yet. But thanks for that confidence boost. Appreciate that. That was a real true poor life decision that I made all on my own. People have difficulty believing that for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that a lot of people think pro wrestling is like WWE or nothing, you know. But like any other form of entertainment, there are different levels. All the way from the guys in the WWE that wrestle at Madison Square Garden, all the way down to the guys like me that wrestled in the barn behind Tom's Lawn and Garden. And I tried to look the part, you know. I had the long hair and the spandex tights, and I cut the hair, but I still have the tights because sometimes I just want to feel pretty. My biggest problem, though, trying to break into pro wrestling was I didn't give a good interview. I didn't cut a good promo. You know, my opponent would be screaming and yelling for 5 minutes how they're going to tear me apart. They'd throw it over to me, and I'd just correct his grammar. It's like Cannonball Hall. You heard what Crazy Loco Lobo had to say. What is your response? And I'd be like, oh, I heard him all right. And I would have to say his subject-verb agreement was questionable at best. And his incessant use of misplaced modifiers served to render his verbal threats all but unintelligible. Brother. Of course, everybody looks at me and they hear professional wrestler. They all jump to that same conclusion, steroids. I'm here to tell you this is 100% pure natural. I don't think that's supposed to pop. A lot of people, once they do believe I was in professional wrestling, they all want to know, so what was your finisher? How did you end the match? It's like, usually on my back.
That is Clint Hall. And we will post that set at BOBANDSHERI.com. Click the menu tab. Look for Everyone Needs a Laugh. And while you're there, why not subscribe to the Bob and Sherry newsletter? We never spam you. It goes out once a month. You'll love it. That's also at BobandSherry.com.
Can I give you very quickly here a wonderful human interest story? I just have to get this out. A missing Casanova parrot. A parrot was found after 4 days when he flirted with a woman who walked under the tree he was hiding in. Lee Chittenden, this is in Great Britain, was distraught that his pet bird called Joey flew off from home. A door was left open. He thought he would never see his parrot again. He vanished. And Lee feared the worst because it's kind of chilly and there were strong winds. But when Tracy Driver walked past a tree near his home in Kent, the parrot couldn't resist making a pass at her. And Joey squeaked, "Oh, hello there, lovely." Tracy then asked whether anyone was missing a parrot, went online, and Lee went down to the spot and was reunited with Joey. The cheeky bird flew into his arms and gave him a kiss, saying, "Oh, hello, Dad. Love you." He said, "He's my best friend. We're very close. I've had a tough time recently, and Joey has kept me company." Isn't that something? Is that not the cutest thing ever? He kissed him. He flew to him. That's amazing. I'm glad they're together again. Kind of sad that that's his only friend, but what are you going to do?
Some people only need the one, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I am looking at an online poll right now of the 20 male celebrities with the best hair, according to men. So I'm going to go through them really quickly, and then I want Max and Lamar to tell me, if you could snap your fingers and have somebody's hair, who would it be? Let's start with number 20, Liam Gallagher. Liam Gallagher. Number 19, Lewis Hamilton. Jason Momoa. Number 17 is Colin Farrell. And then Zayn Malik. Harry Styles is there, 15. 14 is, and this is in no particular order. These are just the number of guys. 14 is Ed Sheeran, which is an interesting choice. 13, Justin Timberlake. Then 12, Justin Bieber. Bradley Cooper, who is everywhere these days, is number 11. Then number 10, Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah, he's got great hair. Zac Efron definitely has great hair. Then we're up to Idris Elba. Then Ryan Gosling. Keanu Reeves. He's got a lot of hair. Chris Hemsworth, who is my wife's free pass. Number 4 is George Clooney. You know, Clooney still has great hair, always has. I don't know how Brad Pitt still has that great hair. What is he, 60 now, or he's approaching 60? It's still blonde. It still looks great. Number 2 is Ryan Reynolds, and at the top of the list is David Beckham. Again, not in any particular order, but 20 of them. So I'll go to you first, Max. Who would you pick if you could have their hair?
I was just watching Stranger Things, and Matthew Modine has great hair and still has great hair.
Matthew Modine.
Yes.
All right. He's not on my list here, but okay, you can add him to it. How about you? How about you, Lamar?
I want to say George Clooney. Of course, Mac Davis is always my first one because that's what I was trying with the perm thing. But I'm going to go with Clooney.
Yeah, he's not.
I purposely don't do my hair like Clooney so that people can tell it's apart. So, not a problem.
You go. There you are, right there. You were an original. I'm going to pick Harry Styles. That guy's hair, it's got its own life, doesn't it? All right, there they are. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
It is Talk Back Time, where we listen to our listeners. What's on your mind? We'd love to have you on the show. You can go to 844-52-SHERRY and leave us a comment, or you can go to wherever you get your apps, download that, hit the microphone, and record, and you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, Sherry, Max, and Lamar. This is Teresa from Cadillac, Michigan, the town where the lottery ticket that everybody's talking about was bought. And it wasn't bought from a convenience store. It was bought from a local AmVets. So I don't know if it was a courtesy, but they all pretty much know each other in there. It's a little place for, obviously, the veterans to hang out. And we as a town can't be happier that somebody from the veterans had won the $1 million. And I have no doubt that he will continue to work. Have a great day.
Oh, that's great. That's great news that a vet won.
I love when good people win the lottery. You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're like, yeah, you deserve that. You go. I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's presumptuous of her to go ahead and say, he's going to keep working. Maybe not. Maybe not.
I have to tell you, this idea of how much money we're going to give to whoever sold us the lottery ticket for getting in touch with us, this has been one of the most polarizing thing with listeners. They're going, no, don't give them anything, too. You all are cheapskates. So here's what one listener had to say about it.
Hey, this is Carol from Gainesville, and I just heard y'all talking about the lottery winner and all that Bob needs for the $100,000 he's given away. Just a thank you and a smile. But, Bob, what if the guy wants to give you a big hug?
Yeah.
And for $100,000, yeah. I believe he would. I believe he would want to hug you.
I am so generous that I would take that hug, especially if it was from a vet. Listen, if it was from a vet.
But did you hear him when he went, I will take that hug. Like it's a beating.
Listen, if that was sold at an AmVets, they probably do know each other. Are you saying that you're going to take the call? And for people that don't remember it, the person we thought it was convenience store was an AmVet center, called up and said, hey, you may want to check it. You could have won, you know, a million. What was it? 3 million? A million? I forget what it was.
A million.
$1 million. And we were arguing like, you know, what should you give him? I said $100,000. And did I? No, that had to be $3 million. I don't think I would have given $100,000 out of a million.
Well, wait a minute. Now we're backing up.
Out of $3 million.
The listener said it was from Michigan, said it was $1 million. So I don't know. I'm just going by what she said.
Oh, wait. So now you're backing down your tip from $100,000 because it's only $1 million?
Yeah, because after the taxes. I'm going to be, and the one-time payout, it's going to be closer to 600, I'm going to be guessing. So,
yeah, so what's the tip now, Big Daddy? Big deep pockets?
50K. 20. It's still 50K. 20 bucks. Because I might.
20 bucks.
50K. No, it's not 20 bucks. What is wrong with you? You're such a nice person. I can't believe, you know, you're just pulling my leg on that. You would give the guy more than 20 bucks.
No, I was talking about you with 20 bucks. No,
50K.
No.
Because, and again, maybe I didn't know that I had the winning number. It was just, it was floating for several days. It was there. The guy didn't claim it. He probably didn't even look. Thank you.
Lamar, now it's only a million. And what'd you say it was after taxes, Bob? 600? Now what are you giving the guy? What are you giving the guy?
I'm still giving him $100. $100. I'm giving him $100.
No, I think, you know what I think? Here's what I think. You're going to ask him to pay you more because you thought you'd get more than that. No, that's what you're going to do.
$100. $100. $100. And he'll be happy.
You know, I mean, I'm going to be honest. If I was the person who sold you the lottery ticket, I sell a lot of lottery tickets and smokes and Slim Jims and bags of pickle slices. Lamar rolls in and says, I actually won on that lottery ticket and hands me a $100 bill. I'm pretty happy about that, honestly. Yeah,
take the missus out. I say, take the missus out for dinner.
I stand by the assessment that as an incentive to sell lottery tickets, they give them a portion of whoever wins.
They do.
If it's purchased at your place, that's who should be paying the person that sold you the ticket.
But you know it's the convenience store that gets the money, not the employee who's at the register.
Well, I'm
now,
saying
this was AmVets.
They still.
Here's what I think. We are the losingest group of people in the history of losing.
Yeah.
We have no chance of winning a thin nickel. Okay, so we should probably go ahead and give ourselves some grace here because we ain't winning nothing. So we ain't tipping nothing to nobody know how.
He didn't pick the numbers. Know. He didn't
I'm
pick them.
I'm still giving it.
And this one, Mr. Generosity, Thurston Howell, doesn't even buy lottery tickets. So how the hell he thinks he's winning the lottery other than by a miracle? I mean, you got to buy the ticket. Like, oh, my head hurts.
It's a fantasy. That's all. I was just saying that's what I would do if I had purchased the ticket and won. That's it. Well,
I have a fantasy too. It involves Ryan Gosling, and I think I'm more likely to hit that.
Congratulations to the vet. I'm not going to listen to any more of these insults. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
So Lamar's wife, Carla, has been recuperating from ankle surgery. First, she broke her ankle and they put it together with a bunch of screws and bolts and hinges and stuff like from the hardware store. Then those turned out to be a problem because they make all that hardware for men's bodies. And Carla has a little teeny tiny delicate ankle. So the screws started sticking out of her leg like Frankenstein. So they went in and they took all the hardware out and they did something. She's in terrible pain, right? What did they do to her nerve that it's so bad?
Well, this was supposed to be a breeze because, you know, you're supposed to have like be in a boot for a few weeks, come out of the boot, everything's great. Well, as the feeling didn't come back in her leg for well over a week, the nerve block is what they call it. It lasted a little bit longer, but as it started to come back, ankle stuff's fine, no problem, but she's got these shooting pains that started working up in her leg. And so, I mean, these are like, the way she describes it is like stabbing pains that just will not stop. And it really hits her when she goes to sleep or tries to go to sleep. And we went camping last weekend and I spent two or three nights at 2 o'clock in the morning, continuously rubbing her back for an hour, trying to get her back to sleep or, you know, whatever. So it's, you know, she's taking some different stuff. Anyway, she goes back to the doctor. Looks like they've done something to a nerve. Don't know if they've severed the nerve. Don't know what they've done, but they have ticked off a nerve and it will not stop. It just keeps going. So we're trying to figure out everything. She's taking this, taking that. We're doing everything possible. And so we're talking about it. And what really, really hits her when she lays down to go to sleep. We could be watching TV. We're watching a show and we're talking whatever. And I mean, she'll ease around a little bit and, you know, it'll hurt and she'll talk about it a little bit. But in the middle of the night, I mean, she's crying. She's waking me up. I mean, it's terrible. Mm. And so I want to talk to some people about it. And I've got a son that's a doctor, and we got a daughter that's a vet. Well, the doctor camp, as far as this show goes, we're not really getting great information. Yeah. We're not doing so good with the doctor camp. Okay, we're not doing so. I'm thinking, let's go to the vet side. Let's go to the vet side. So we're talking to Alex about it.
No.
And we're saying, Alex, what do you think? And because if she's walking around, the pain is not quite so bad. It's uncomfortable, but it's okay. And in fact, when she's sitting down and we're watching TV, it hurts, but it's still not like it is at night. And so Alex gives us an explanation, and I think this makes sense. She says when you're walking around, your muscles are tense and you're using muscles and muscles, you know, even when you're just sitting down, but you're engaged in conversation, you're watching, you're doing whatever, your muscles distracted. Are still, they've got some, you're distracted and they've got some tension to them. But when you lay down to go to sleep, the whole point about going to sleep is to relax everything. You relax your entire body, you close your eyes and you go to sleep. Well, once everything's relaxed, I guess the freeway's wide open for the nerve to just have a heck of a time. And that's why all the bad pain and stuff is at night. But then it goes into a cycle. So you're not getting any sleep, okay? So now you're sleep deprived and you've got pain. We're having a heck of a time. We are having a heck of a time. We're trying to get a nerve study. We're trying to get to a pain doctor. It's just nuts. Oh, it's absolutely nuts. Yeah.
Well, can I ask you this? Yeah. Is there any way I could bring Kevin into your vet and have them look at him?
Alex did say her coat was shiny and her nose was still wet, so she's okay.
Lamar, what are you going to do with all that money they're going to refund you on this?
Oh yeah, because everybody knows. Yeah, because once they've done this, now this is going to include a neurologist, a pain study, and a nerve study, and a pain doctor. I'm assuming I'm just going to send those bills to this cat. Because I'm not the one that messed it up. It's all I'm saying. Listen, here's what. I'm a Costco shopper. If I go to Costco and I get something and it's not right, Costco makes it good. So that's my conversation. I'm going to say to him.
Yeah. You have some expectations.
I've got a return. I have got a return. I've got my receipt. I have got a return.
So let me ask you this. You mentioned that she was keeping you up at night, which, you know, is probably getting on your nerves.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Not at all. I'm enjoying it. It makes me feel useful. I love it.
Yeah. Right.
I love it.
I was just wondering how's the atmosphere around the house, because I noticed over the weekend that there was a new podcast done by women called My Last Nerve.
Oh, on her nerves. Yeah.
On her nerves.
Well, listen, this is a nerve I hadn't been getting on. I've got on the rest of them, but I haven't been getting on this one for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing the best I can.
Good. That's good.
I'll tell you, your next step, she's been to the doctor, she's been to the vet. Your next step is my daughter, Cara Mia, who can diagnose a rare and unusual disorder on the internet in 31 seconds.
Right.
You're going to find out that what's wrong with Carla hasn't been seen in humanity since the Middle Ages. Trust me, my youngest can find it. Straight ahead. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Have they invented a pill that can stop your dog from aging? And are you interested in keeping your dog going? You are. Got that for you next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
The thing about dogs is they don't live long enough, you know? Like, you, no matter whether it's a little dog, like my little white dog Sam, I thought he was going to be immortal, or a big dog, they just don't live long enough. And from the moment you fall in love with your dog, you know that you just hit the timer and that you're going to run out of time. They just don't live long enough. So what if there was a pill that could change that? That pill is in clinical trials right now. They're testing it on a group of large breed dogs and a group of small breed dogs. It's a chewable product. It's the first of its kind anti-aging drug for dogs. And they believe that this could extend your dog's life by years. And what it does is it targets the metabolism, basically the metabolic fitness process that it's aging. I mean, it's the same thing with people, right? It's the whole biological metabolic process of aging. But for some reason, this pill slows that down in dogs. And they said that this is really promising for the human lifespan, because dogs have the same number of genes as people do. And they often suffer from the same diseases that we do, you know, cancer and heart disease and muscular dystrophy even, right? So at Northeastern University, they're talking about how they found that they can extend the lifespan of mice and make them healthier. So they worked on that with mice and their metabolism. And now they're working on it with dogs. And what happens at the peak of adulthood in terms of people, when a human being hits age 30, things start changing with muscle mass. Like your muscle mass declines. And so the less muscle you have, right, the fewer calories you burn, you're not as strong, blah, blah, blah. So they figured out, okay, let's apply this to dogs now. And the name of the study is called, this is so sweet. Are you ready? It's called Stay.
Ah.
My heart. Oh, my feels. Stay. And so they have partnered with more than 50 independent veterinary clinics around the country to run this trial. More than 1,000 dogs over the age of 10 are going to participate. It's a 4-year study. So they hope to have conditional FDA approval by next year and to make the drug available to all people who have dogs and who love dogs. And the company is actively inviting owners with dogs over the age of 10 who weigh at least 14 pounds for this drug to participate. And the medication is called Loy-002. It was specifically designed for older dogs, all but the smallest breeds. So this medication is not for like a teacup Yorkie or a Chihuahua. The very first dog to participate is an 11-year-old Whippet whose name is Boo. And they're also working on, so this is a chewable. They're also working on an injectable for large and giant breeds. There are certain biological mechanisms inside the body of big dogs, you know, like your German Shepherds and your Great Danes and your Mastiffs, right? And these mechanisms cause those dogs to age faster than smaller dogs. But yes, they're working right now on the drug that would slow that down. And the idea that you could have your dog longer and your dog would be healthy and would feel good and would be playful. You tell me, what person isn't on board with this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Can I ask you something? You also said there might be applications for humans with this. Why do these inventions not come to light when I'm 14 years old?
You know, it's unfortunate. That's for sure. It is.
None of them were there when I was 14 years old. You're 14 years old. You're going, all right, they're going through this with dogs. So let's give it another 10 years. Then they'll start with people and give it another 10 years. Yeah, that's right. I'll be about 34 years old. That sounds good to me.
I saw a comment on one of these articles that I was reading about this, because there's a bunch of different information out there. We'll post this up on Facebook. And one of the comments was, oh, please, they should have invented this drug when people could afford a house. I don't want to live longer.
It's true.
So there you go. Maybe as early as next year, a pill will hit the market that will keep your doggy best friend by your side for longer. How can that be anything but the best news ever? Yeah. It's Bob and Sherry.
Get my money.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Spring breakers headed to Texas beaches might stumble on something they have never seen before. No, I'm not talking about a double bong. I'm talking about a magnificent, bright blue and silver sea slug known as the Blue Dragon. It is 1 inch long. It is beautiful. It looks like something you would want to play with. You'd want to touch it. But if you touch it, it's going to be a very painful sting. A marine biologist at Texas A&M Corpus Christi says the blue dragon sail on the ocean surface eating toxins from the Portuguese man-o-war and from jellyfish. This time of year, the slugs come ashore with the potential to release those toxins on contact. It would be 3 to 5 times worse than a man-of-war sting. The pain can last for up to 3 hours. It feels like somebody is scraping multiple needles across your skin. Blue dragons can sting in the water or after they're dead and laying on the shore. So if you don't know that, you might pick it up to look at it, and it can still sting you. A bad reaction to the sting can cause vomiting and disorientation and a trip to the emergency room, just like that double bong I was talking about. You don't know how your body is going to react to the venom. And that's the key. Everybody's body reacts differently. Researchers say if you're stung, pour vinegar or warm water on the site. Don't pee on it. That won't work. But don't get in the ocean and don't rub it with sand. If you're not interested in keg stands or chugging contests, and you're an adult taking your young kids to the beach, make sure you tell them to be careful and not pick up the blue things that's on the beach or in the water, because they're very attractive to kids. Yes.
Hey, Lamar, the Chamber of Commerce in Miami Beach wants to know, how can we get them on our beach?
Maybe they can import them.
Keep spring break.
Happy spring break. Yeah. This is Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
So there is a Canadian scientist who is developing a medicine. It's a pill that would erase bad memories from your mind. And he says, he's come right out and he says, this has huge ethical implications. but he is at the head of the group that's looking into this at the University of Toronto, of course, in Canada. You could have a bad memory, and that could be something that you did or saw in war. It could be a trauma from an accident. It could be a horrifying event that you saw happen, like a mass shooting or something like that. And, of course, this has echoes of the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, in which an estranged couple erase each other from their memories. So I was thinking about this, and I thought, I don't know, you know, playing with memories and playing with truth, is that really a good idea? They have successfully activated in erasing fear-based memories in mice. Now, I don't know how they do that, but they have some way of doing that. And I'm thinking to myself, if I could have a pill that would erase the horror of certain moments and erase, I won't use the word horror, but just really miserable, miserable moments, I would might be interested in that, but I would not want the truth to be eradicated, because the truth is the truth. If you eradicate, you know, the loss of someone, I don't want them out of my memory, but the pain of the loss would be something I think that would be very appealing to me. And I'm somebody that knows a little bit about this subject. What do you think?
I wouldn't do it. Because how can you take away part of the memory without taking all of it or compromising it? Like if you took the memory of, so my best friend died really young. If you took the memory of her death away, do I forget that she was my best friend? Am I wondering why she's not texting or calling?
Well, that's like, what I said. Yeah. No, you don't want that. You don't want
so
that.
So, yeah, I can't. I even can't imagine
your
it.
Best friend, I need to remember that agony. I need to remember that sadness. For me to erase that would be dismissing her. I don't know. I think love calls for the amount you love is the amount you grieve. And so in your case, that's your best friend. If you erase the grieving you did for her, I just don't feel right about it.
That's a very good way to put it, Lamar. That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. I would consider erasing seventh grade.
But isn't that part of what makes you who you are? I mean,
yes, that's why I want to erase it.
Fair enough. You know, fair enough.
I was making an assumption here, but I guess I showed.
I did. I got to be honest. I did have those perm years. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I can forget that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
Now, I've read that there are all sorts of interesting studies on using, like, hallucinogens, like clinical doses of psilocybin or LSD, to not erase a memory. And this is done in like therapeutic hospital settings, not in your cousin Alfred's basement. Okay.
Right.
So, and what they do is they don't erase the painful or traumatic memory, mm-hmm. but they kind of sand the edges so that it doesn't jab you in such sharp and excruciating ways. They help you process, like people, I read a really fascinating article. I think this was a study out of Johns Hopkins, that people who were really struggling with deep, deep trauma, they didn't forget the trauma. It didn't get erased, but they had found their way to the other side where they could look at it without being so triggered and reactive to it, which is interesting to think about.
There are therapists who go through a process. And I'm in line to have that process done. But there's a waiting list. So I know what you're talking about.
It's good. I mean, there's a lot of really compelling research. Like,
yeah.
You know, human beings, like we're emotional. We feel pain and joy so acutely. And if we could help people in pain, why wouldn't we? Right? But not erase a memory. Yes, unless it's your seventh grade, because I agree. That was, that was a tough time for the Bobster.
That's
it's
right,
Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
She was known as the Giggling Granny, but behind the warm smile of Nanny Doss was the heart of a cold-blooded murderer. In 1954, she confessed that over the course of nearly 30 years, she'd killed 11 people. Four husbands, two children, one of her sisters, her own mother, two grandsons, and a mother-in-law. The casual killing of her own family members made Nanny Doss one of history's most notorious female serial killers.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Show us how much you love your pup at bobandsherry.com. Click on the contest page and upload a photo of you and your dog. You could win $100, $150, or $250 worth of Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. Love My Pup is sponsored by Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend. Real ingredients, freeze-dried raw, and dogs love it. Get up to 54% off your first order, plus free Tilly's treasures. Visit drmartypets.com/Bob. A TikToker stirred up a discussion by declaring that she has and always will stand up as soon as the plane touches down. The poster says that she cannot let herself slack off in case the row behind her manages to get ahead of her. One of her comments posted said, "It's my biggest peeve when people stay seated and don't have any urgency to get their bags from the overhead bin. It's the people that stay sitting who slow down the process." Now, opposing comment said, "The row behind you is not going to get out before you. Standing isn't going to make anything go faster. Just sit down and wait. The people who try and leave before someone in a row in front of them need to learn some social etiquette." Now, if you are a stander, it could be because you're sure that it will get you off the plane faster so that you can catch the next flight, or maybe you just get home quicker. But according to statistics, standing up immediately only works for the first 30 people that get off. It might be because you feel like you have to do something, or you might be wasting time and you want to get on with your day. Or you might be stressed for just being on a plane and you just want to get the heck off of that. Me personally, I'm a sitter. When everybody stands up, it feels more crowded to me because the aisle is too small for three people from each side to stand in it. I don't begrudge standers. I'm just not one of them. I'm that same way at a ball game or a concert, anywhere there's a big crowd. When it's over, I don't jump up and run for the exit with the multitude. I give it a few minutes. I don't want to be shoved up next to somebody, and I don't want somebody shoved up behind me. And I don't like all that, you know? I just don't. I give it some time. On a plane, as soon as the couple of rows in front of me are getting ready, then I'm grabbing my stuff. I'm doing it quickly because I don't want to hold anybody up. But until then, I'm sitting. I refuse to jump up in front of anyone as I'm moving up the aisle. I will allow any row in front of me to get out. With that many people in one small space, I think a little bit of etiquette and some good manners, I think it's important. Now, that's just
I agree.
Me. What do y'all think?
Lamar,
I
just
agree.
Did
Go.
The math. Wait, I just did the math. First class has five rows with two seats each. So that's 20, right? Five yep. rows, so four across. So you said the first 30 people are the only ones who benefit.
That's the only
so
one who benefits.
If there are two rows in each of coach, do you realize that first class and the first couple of rows of that plane are the only people that benefit from standing up?
Yes.
That's it. And first class, they don't need extra benefits. They've got little bowls of hot nuts and somebody hanging up their coat, right? They've already got all the advantages.
Yes.
That's
I had no idea.
30. Wow.
Yeah, 30. That's it.
I'm kind of right in the middle there with this. First of all, if there's a guy that's standing up and he has to bend over to stand up because it's a low ceiling. That to me is just completely stupid. I never try to get ahead to get my bag and get ahead of somebody else, but I get nervous if I open, it's now my turn, and I open up the bin and I can't get the damn suitcase out of the bin because it's a tight, tight fit. And now I got eyeballs on me. Oh, you're the one holding us up.
Pressure.
Oh.
Pressure.
Yeah,
pressure.
The pressure. That's exactly right. It's there. That's the only reason I get up as quickly as I can. But, you know, first of all, this woman is getting up as the plane is moving. Is that what I'm hearing
that's the way,
here?
That's the way I take it. That's as soon as it touches down, she starts moving.
But that's against the law. No, you can't. You cannot do that. That's selfish.
How come? Wait. How come she can stand up and not get yelled at by the flight attendants? Like, what is this power this woman has? Is she one of those women that's like so terrible, but her man worships her like a queen, and even flight attendants fear her? Who is this woman?
Either she's one of those people that carries on a machete to an airplane. It's got to be one or the other. And they're out there.
I think flight attendants have got PSD now because how do they? They don't know what the next argument's going to be. Who's going to get the next fight? So they're just trying to not cause trouble, I'm just a sitter. I'm always going to be a sitter. I'm a sitter. I'm not getting up. Don't care. I'm not getting up.
I mean, what's the point? We're in row 22. I can get a nap in waiting to get off the plane.
That's what I'm thinking. So if you standers, you just keep standing, but I'm going to keep sitting. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
All right, we are here with Double M, our coworker, who has spent most of his grown-up life traveling for work. Just been a total road warrior, and he's at the airport. You're at the airport every week, I think, pretty much, right?
Yeah, I prefer to drive, but I do frequent it. I do frequent at the airports. So I can't stand people that have their nose in the phone and they're not watching where they're walking. It drives me nuts. Yet I was that person this weekend. I was trying to catch up on emails. I was in a hurry. My nose was in the phone, and I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. So I'm trying to walk and talk at the same time and read emails, and it wasn't coming together. But the worst part is, and I'll keep this PG, G-rated, I had to urinate like you wouldn't believe. I mean, uncomfortable.
I've been there, yeah.
Oh.
Remember that happened
to me? At an airport. No, a train station. Where were you?
I think it was either Rome. No, where the mafia guys are.
Naples.
In Naples,
Bob,
I think.
Bob was so desperate that he didn't have a euro when he finally found a restroom that he was eyeing a potted plant.
Like, seriously, in a shop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just awful.
I mean, what guy has that?
I had to run to try to find it, and then it is one of these places where you had to have a euro to get in. And I was thinking of going over the, you know, the turnstile, but then I would be arrested by Italian police in Naples. That's not going to turn out well.
Peeing in a potted plant in a shop is not going to call any attention.
I admit it was a hard choice. And anyway, let's go back to
you. So
you
had to go.
So I had to go, and of course, when you see the restroom sign, because I looked up, then you have to go worse. So you start doing the potty dance,
right.
You know, the urinate dance. Right. And my nose is still on the phone, and when I got in there, I just had to go so bad. I'm kind of dancing around, and I realized there's no urinals. I'm in the women's restroom. So I thought, I'm going.
Oh, the phone.
Yeah.
The phone did it to you.
I'm going anyways. So I went into...
What?
I knew I wasn't going to be. I had no idea where the men's restroom was, or if it was way down the hall.
Already,
it's next door. It's always next door.
He's already in there.
It wasn't.
And he had to go.
All right, go ahead. What happened?
So I urinated, and I mean it was, and I. This was one of those urinations where it takes like 3 minutes. I was over. It was a double flush.
So that's a first. A guest gets the triangle. So it's a Bob and Sherry first.
So I get out of there, and I didn't think anybody was in there because it was quiet. And sure enough, this poor little lady came up next to me.
It's an airport.
And she's next to me, and we're both washing our hands, and it was quiet, very awkward. And I said, "How you doing?"
So she's like, "Did not." Yeah. You made conversation in the ladies' room.
I said, "I'm obviously in the wrong room. I'm so."
What did she do? What was her reaction?
She, I think she was a nice little Latina lady, smaller than me, and she kind of smiled and giggled, and I just walked out like,
you know what?
I wasn't embarrassed.
That's good.
A lesser man would have gotten out of there without washing his hands. But you're not that man.
No, I was.
You're not that man. You're in the ladies' room. You did your business. You're not leaving without washing your hands.
The security came up to me. Yeah, because they have you on camera.
They thought you were a pervert.
He said, "Hey, is everything okay?" And I said, "Well,
I wash my hands.
Yeah, I'm. Well, I'm pretty regular. Thanks for asking."
You know, that was a nice security guy to say it that way. Yeah. Is everything okay?
He cared about you as a human.
I didn't think. Wow. What an awkward story.
But everything worked out all right.
And came out all right, too.
Yeah. Nice save for him, dignity-wise, with saluting the hand washing. That was awfully good of you.
Well, you know, a lesser man would have been like, "I made a mistake. I'm in the ladies' room. I got to get out of here before I get caught."
Guess I'm a lesser man.
But Double M has the OCD, and he's washing.
That's it.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
You know, bride and grooms, when they get married, couples just don't want their wedding to be nice and romantic. They want it to be memorable. Whether it's ditching the traditional first dance and do a mashup of your favorite songs, or maybe you swap your ring bearers for llamas, or I don't know. There's plenty of ways to push your big day from sweet and happy to make it to go straight to extraordinary and unforgettable. One couple decided to go the extra mile and make their wedding one that their guests would never forget and be talking about for a long time. They did this by setting themselves on fire as they exited the wedding. Gabe Jessup and Amber Bamber intentionally set themselves on fire as they walked down the aisle and left the audience gobsmacked. You never get a chance to use that word. Gobsmacked, I say. The pair, they were stunt doubles. They worked in the film industry. They've had a lot of roles on movies and TV shows. And so they knew something about explosives, and they knew what was going to happen when they got ready to walk out the door. This resulted in them paying homage to their shared careers during their special day. The fire started with a flaming bouquet of flowers. And when it was touched to them, it spread over the back of the bride and groom. They're engulfed in flames, walking hand in hand out of the wedding. Footage of the wild stunt has been circulating on social media. Guests can be heard cheering from them on the sidelines. I would have paid money to be at that wedding. I would have brought a really nice gift. I mean, that goes without saying, don't try this at home. But it shows them as they get out, and once they get past the church, they both kneel down and duck their heads, and some guy comes along and sprays them with a CO2 and, you know, a fire extinguisher and puts them out of fire. What a great deal. What an absolute great deal.
I did that, but it was actually getting out of a marriage. I set myself on fire. It was the only choice that I had.
Seems to have worked out well for you, Bob.
Yeah, long term. Yeah. It did. That's right.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.